Hello, welcome to Children from the Way, which are for if you're aged 11 and above. This will be appropriate for you to listen to. So today we're going to be talking about Abigail, but before we get to that, just to do a little quiz to warm up your brain cells. So I am thinking of an item of clothing. And I've got 5 clues. See whether you can guess what it is. Remember, some of the clues are trying to throw you off. So this is something that you can wear in winter or summer. And that's for 5 points. Can you guess what it is? For 4 points, there are lots of different types of this item. So guess what it is. For 3 points, this is something you wear either on your head, your shoulders, your knees, or your toes. Something you could wear either on your head, your shoulders, your knees, or your toes. What do you think it could be? For 2 points, there are lots of types of this item. Some of them are called bilby, or Panama, or top. Can you guess what it is yet? And for 1 point, this is something that you wear on your head. So, quick drum roll. I was thinking of a hat. Did you guess it right? Well, that was just for fun. So, I hope you enjoyed it. So, Abigail, we hear about her story in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Really, right from the beginning, we hear that there was a man called Nabal, and he had a beautiful wife called Abigail. Nabal actually means a fool. Okay, so it's not looking good already for this guy, because with a name like that, it's very easy to think of him doing and saying foolish things. So, but Abigail, her name means whose father is joy, as if to say that Abigail could bring joy, or that Abigail's parents would have a lot of joy because of what she does, because of her actions. So you could look at it in those two ways. So Abigail is also said to be beautiful and intelligent, whereas her husband is described as a fool from his name. And it's not clear whether this was the name his parents gave him, okay, which is not very nice really, because no parent would want to name their child fool right from birth. This is just asking for trouble, really. Or it might be a name that he picked up at some stage in his life. Maybe people realized that some of the things that they did were a bit foolish, and so they started calling him Nabal anyway. But there we are, that was his name. So he was very wealthy, and he had a lot of properties. He had goats and sheep. And this was a time when the sheep were being shorn, and at the end of each day, they would have a party for the servants. He had lots and lots of servants. So he was away from home, shearing the sheep and overseeing that and enjoying the party with his servants. And David and his men had been in the wilderness for quite a while. And when he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Nabal to say, "Please, can you spare us some food? We have been up here running away from Saul for a long time, but we wish you and your servants good health. But now that you're shearing sheep and you have all of this food, would you spare us just a little bit so that we can survive? Because while we were in the wilderness, we saw your shepherds and their sheep, and we made sure we helped them to look after the sheep and to make sure they were not attacked. We didn't mistreat the servants at all. You can ask them, you know. And this is the message that David sends with his young men. When the young men arrive, they give the message to Nabal, and he says, "Who is David?" This is in verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 25. It says, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse?" Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. How do I know who these people are? And why should I give my bread and water and meat to people that I've killed these animals and made this bread and water for my shearers? Why should I take away from my servants and give it to people that I don't know where they've come from? So that was a bit insulting. David's men turned around. They go back and they tell David every word this guy has said. And David is absolutely incensed. He is so, so cross. He says, "Everyone, put on your sword. We're going to fight." And his plan is to kill all the men that were in Nabal's household. So he was going to kill all the servants, all of his sons, all of his any cousins, any male person, basically, was going to die. In verse 14, one of the servants goes to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and she said, and he tells her what has happened. Said, "David has sent messengers from the wilderness to ask our master for some food. He gave great greetings and all of this, but our master, he just insulted David so much. And now David is coming with his army and they're going to kill us." He said, "But I saw David and his men. They were like a wall around us. Day and night, they were looking after us. They made sure our sheep were near them, and they kept us safe. And, you know, because shepherds didn't have a lot of weapons with them. Only soldiers carried weapons." And he said, "You know, I can vouch for the fact that David looked after us, and he does deserve some food and water. But our master has just insulted him so much. And we know that our master is a wicked man, and no one can persuade him now to do anything different." Abigail, well, she started acting really quickly. She took some bread, some wine, some sheep that had been roasted. She took some cakes of raisin and cakes of figs. She put them on a donkey and she said to the servants, "Go ahead of me and I'm coming, I'm following. Go and give all this food and all this wine to David." She goes on a mountain, she goes to where David is, and she bows herself low before David. And she says a lot of lovely things to David to persuade him. In verse 24, she says, "Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal. He's just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. As for me, your servant, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all those who intend to harm you be like Nabal." And she says loads of really, really good things to David. And she says, "Please forgive me for my presumption, but I really need to persuade you not to kill people, because God has given you a great destiny and you have a lasting dynasty that God has given you. And I'm sure God doesn't want you to shed innocent blood." And she goes on for a few more verses and she's very persuasive. She talks to David and she blesses him. She blesses the men around him. And she says, "God is going to give you great success. And when God has blessed you, please remember me and remember how I have come before you and have fed you," right? So David says to Abigail, do you know what? I've heard you and you're very persuasive. And I agree that I'm not going to shed blood today. I'm not going to use my own hand to kill your husband and all the other men. God, who has kept me from harming you, he will deal with my enemy. And I'm going to just leave him to it. And then David accepts all the food. He accepts all the blessing and he tells her, I've heard what you said and I'm going to grant your request. So Abigail goes back to Nabal and he's busy having a party as if he was a king. And he's very drunk. So she leaves him until the next morning. In the morning, she tells him all that has happened. And she tells him in great detail the things that she has had to do to keep him alive. And when he hears this, he has a heart attack. And it might be more like a stroke because it says he became like a stone. And then 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Now, when David hears that he has died, and this is now in verse 39, he says, well, praise be to God because I didn't do anything against Nabal. Even though he was very foolish and said insulting things to me, I didn't deal with him. God has dealt with him and has brought this on him. And then David asks Abigail to be his wife. And she comes under David and under the covering because it wasn't safe for women not to have a husband. And Abigail agrees to become David's wife. And in verse 42, she doesn't waste any time. She quickly gets on a donkey and takes 5 of her female servants and she goes off and is David's wife. Right, so that is the story in a very big nutshell, because it is quite a lot to take in. But there is so much to learn from Abigail and the way that she acted. And it ties in so much with our memory verse, which is Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. And in this version, which is, I want to read it from the Amplified version, which I think is better. It says, a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger. So when you look at this story, which character are you? Are you Nabal, who hears a request that he could have fulfilled without too much trouble? Because they were having a banquet. There was lots of food. He could have very easily taken a small amount of that food and given it to David, but he didn't. He decided to act all high and mighty. He decided to act proud and foolish, really. And maybe he was showing off to the people around him, but for some reason he decided to insult David and say, who is David? Who knows this David? What's going on? I don't even know this guy. Everybody knew David at this time because David had people singing songs about him. And everyone knew that David and King Saul were really not good friends at the moment. So it was no news to Nabal that David was around. But he decided to act as if he didn't know David and that David was not a man of renown. So that was very, very insulting to David. So are you someone like Nabal who talks before they think? When I was growing up, we used to have a saying that said, there's a reason why we have 2 ears and 1 mouth, that we should listen and think twice as much as we talk. So we used to say, think twice before speaking once, that you should hear something and think about it twice as much as you would speak about it. So that's something to think about. Or maybe you might be David. You might be a person who hears something said. And yes, it might be insulting to you and it's not appropriate and it really gets to you. But then you decide to respond in anger. David's response was really not sort of like equivalent to Nabal's crime. Fair enough that Nabal had insulted David. But like the way David responded, wanting to kill Nabal and every male person in the whole household, in the whole family, that was a little bit OTT. Are you the sort of person who overreacts? Do things just escalate out of hand? And before you know it, you've done something in anger that, you know, is just a really high price to pay. Like Abigail was saying to David that if David had done this, his hands would not have been clean. He wouldn't have had a clean and perfect reputation with everyone, because this story would have always been there that, yes, fine, he had been angry, but he had gone and killed so many people because Nabal had lots of servants. There were the servants that looked after his goats and sheep. There were servants in the house. And all those servants had families. All those servants, the male servants, all had wives and they had families. And it was an unnecessary response. Is that how you respond? Do you explode in people's faces just over a very, very small matter? Or are you like Abigail? Abigail was amazing in this story. She stays cool, calm, and collected. She knows she has to act, and she knows she has to act quickly. She knows there's a storm brewing, but she is prepared to do everything she can to calm it down. She takes a ridiculous amount of food and water and wine and all these good things, cakes and stuff, puts them on a donkey and sends her servant off straight away. She doesn't consult with her husband, who she doesn't have a very high opinion of. But she goes and she acts quickly and wisely. She diffuses a very, very bad situation and she saves a lot of lives. Are you that sort of person? Can you be trusted and relied on to calm down someone's anger? Like the memory verse says, do you have a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer that turns away anger? Because a soft answer is not a weak answer. It is powerful in its gentleness. It will just diffuse the situation without coming out as being so strong and forceful. It is strong in its softness and gentleness. Is that the sort of answer you would give? Is that how you would respond? So Abigail really knew how to use words. She speaks a lot to David in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And all the things that she says, they hit home and they take away that anger. She knows how to use her resources. She takes all the food that she can, that is available to her, to go and give to David to placate the situation. Are you that sort of person? Can you be relied on to say the right thing and to do the right thing and to use your resources to bring peace? Another thing that Abigail did is that, I've lost my notes here. She allowed the Holy Spirit to guide her, really, because there's no way she could have known all those things were going to have such a big impact on David. To the extent that the minute that he heard that Nabal had died, he was like, I need this woman close to me. I want her near me. I want her to be my wife. Because the characteristics that David had seen in what Abigail did. Abigail was truthful and honest. She knew what her husband was like. She knew that he was a fool, that he tended to speak quicker than he thought about things, that he was just being a bit of an idiot, really. You know, so do you know the people around you? Do you surround yourself with people that get you into trouble? Do you have people around you who you can't rely on to give a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer when trouble comes? Can they be relied on? Or do they give harsh and painful and careless words that stir up anger? You have to be careful who you have around you, because Abigail fully knew what her husband was like. And so she comes to David and said, look, this idiot man has said these things to you, but this is what I am saying. And all the things that she said to him, to David, were things that calmed the situation down and helped David to see amazing characteristics in this woman. And I love how, like, Nabal said a very, very short passage to David. He said, like, about two verses to David. And when Abigail had to placate David down and to make David lose all the anger, she had to use about eight verses to get all of her ideas out, which shows you that sometimes to get into trouble, it takes very little effort. But to get out of trouble, it takes more work. So just think about that. That's just something that I just realized right now. So she knew what her husband was like, and she knew that she had to take drastic action to make sure that a lot of people did not get killed. And when she went to see David, she goes right down and she prostrates herself before David. She doesn't just bow her head or bow from the waist. She goes down flat on the ground to show herself in the most humble position she could possibly get into. She didn't hold herself as a proud person. She knew how to behave to calm the situation down, and she knew that this was going to take everything that she had. Can you read situations like that? Are you good at reading situations and knowing how low you have to go sometimes? That sometimes the situation might mean you have to remove pride and just humble yourself before someone to say, you know what, I understand that you have more power than I do, but I am still willing to come to you and ask for your help and ask you to change your mind and ask you to do these things for me and my household. When Abigail went to David, and some of the things that she said, quite a lot of them are really, really powerful, but she works along the lines of God's purpose and destiny for David's life. Because David had been anointed to be king about 10 years before this, and now he was being chased by Saul, who was the current king. This looked like David is as far away from being king as he could be, because he was in the wilderness. He was having to go around asking for food for him and his men. And like, there's nothing kingly in that. But when Abigail saw David and she starts saying lots of things to him, some of the things that she says, I know that God is going to fulfill his promises towards you, and he is going to give you to bring all those promises to pass. And he's going to make you a great king, and you will have a great lineage of people. You will have a great empire, and you will rule over Israel, and you'll be a strong and good king. Because one of the reasons you're going to be good is because you're going to not shed blood today. And so she swings all of that round to get her way. She knows how to be persuasive, which is a real, real blessing to her and other people. The last lesson I'd like to point out from this story is how God fights David's battles. So Nabal was now David's enemy. And although David didn't himself kill Nabal, God kills Nabal. God makes sure that Nabal gets what's coming to him. Because remember that David was a man who was anointed by God. So he was like God's special emissary. He was God's special person who was going to be king over Israel. And Nabal really should not have said all those things to David. He shouldn't have said it to anybody, but especially not David, who was already anointed by God. There's a passage in 2 Samuel where it says, do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And that is exactly what Nabal should have been aware of. that David had been anointed by God. He knew this because this would have been stories that would have been going around. David had been anointed to be king over Israel, and that would have meant over Nabal as well. But here he was insulting the person who had been anointed to be king. How stupid is that? But we know that obviously Nabal was not a person who thought about things before he said them. And God makes sure that Nabal gets his punishment. The very next day, when he hears all these things that have happened and how close to death he was, Nabal has a heart attack. And that is like God bringing comeuppance on Nabal. He gets what he deserves. And David doesn't even have to lift a finger to kill him or any other innocent person. Nabal, 10 days later, after this heart attack, he then dies. And that just shows us that God fights our battles. If you have somebody who insults you or says bad things about you, or even is your absolute enemy, and you realize this person is somebody who maybe doesn't like you, you don't have to fight that person. You can ask God to fight your battles for you. And God will do it in the way that is most appropriate, and that will probably affect that person most. And he will do it without you having to raise a finger, because God is more than able to fight our battles. So we need to trust him more. We need to rely on him more. And we need to give him that authority to say, Lord, I'm not going to try and fight this on my own. I am going to give you full authority to fight the battle for me. So those are the few things that we can pick up from this story. It's Abigail is one of the women, the wonder women of power in the Bible. And she was absolutely powerful with her words to prevent so many people being killed, including her husband. So then once all of this has happened, she gets put under the protection of David and ends up being his wife and living like, well, as a queen, because obviously when he became king, she was a queen. So, you know, if you can use your words to stand out before people so that they will remember you when they hear things concerning you. And maybe they might just pray for you. Maybe they might bless you in a way that's more tangible. But the things that we say are important. And as we have seen from this, they can either start a storm or they can calm the storm. So before we go, let us pray, and then I'll remind you of the memory verse. So, Lord, I just pray for all the people listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you help them to be people that calm storms and people that use your word and your wisdom to bring peace to the situation. Help them to think carefully before they speak and to seek situations that they can help to calm down and to remove anger and bitterness and negative emotions. I thank you, O Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next week I will be asking you whether you remember the memory verse, and it's the amplified version of Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1. Which says, a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger. So I pray that you will have soft and gentle and thoughtful answers all this week and always. Stay blessed, and I'll speak to you again at the next broadcast. Bye.